This winter, keep your home warm and help lower your energy bills with Warmflow, the home heating experts. With an eco-friendly range of high-efficiency oil boilers and Zeno R290 air and ground source heat pumps, Warmflow provides home heating solutions designed to save you money while keeping you cozy, whatever the weather. Trusted for over 50 years, Warmflow delivers heating that works smarter, not harder. For all your home heating needs, visit warmflow.co.uk.
Anya McCarthy Kent. I'm from Tramore, County Waterford, born and bred, married to Stephen Kent, two daughters, Rebecca and Jana. My parents were Olive and Bernard McCarthy, and my in-laws are the Kent family of Graphic Image. And I was teaching in the Mersey for 29 years, and I decided to cut it loose and go back to my children were reared, and I decided to go back to my roots, really. But unfortunately, the timing wasn't great. 2019, I decided to leave teaching and, of course, straight into COVID. And I had a big festival lined up along the Copper Coast called the Copper Coast Trad Fest, all ready to go, all had to be cancelled by COVID. And then on the last day of COVID, when the government went out and said, get on with your lives, it's all begun, it's all over, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. So, but that's okay. It was like the health system is working as far as I'm concerned. Caught early and moving on with my life, got, you know, the earliest intervention. So blessed, I will say, go and get your mammograms, anyone. I did not want to go. I went, just did my normal, you know, the normal mammograms, and it was picked up. So like, I feel absolutely blessed, as opposed to, I was horrified now at the time, but the system works. Use it.
And just to ask, I won't dwell too much on it, Anya, but you hadn't had any symptoms. You just went for a routine check, which most of us should do, but maybe don't.
Yeah, and actually the routine check was a year late because of COVID. But that worked for me. You know, it might have been picked up when I should have had the routine one, you know. Yeah, no, I actually did have a bit of pain, but I thought it was the harp. Mm-hmm. Because the harp went right across where the little yogi was. I didn't even say the name of it. But I did have a bit of pain, but I thought it was the harp. So I didn't, I was tired. Like when you look back, I kind of go, yeah, there were little things there, but I didn't notice. So really the system is what worked for me. I was so lucky.
And since then, you have absolutely not sat on your laurels. But what you've done in terms of leaving teaching, mm-hmm. like for so many people, that's closing a door on an identity.
Yeah.
And you can often feel rudderless after that. And where do I belong? Did you feel that?
Absolutely felt it. And the thing is, that's the second time I lost my identity, because, you know, I was a musician first and foremost. You know, I went to college, went to WR at the time, and I also went to UCC. I did all my music. I was in the music world. I was playing away happily, you know. And, you know, the arts find it hard to get funded and stuff, you know. So my parents actually made me sign a contract. Would you believe that? When they sent me to UCC, I had to sign a contract to swear I would do the HDIP or I wasn't allowed to go. Now, that's in that generation, that's parents making sure they were looking after a girl.
But they were future-proofing. Yeah,
they were looking at particularly a girl. You know, and when I look back, like, I think, so I went into teaching. Now, I loved my teaching time, but you can't have it all. You know, I couldn't have it all. I couldn't put the time into music, you know, and into teaching. So eventually something has to give. So I saw my opportunity. I think when you get a little bit of a health scare like that, you go, okay, what is it I really want to do, you know? And like, so I picked up the harp. And I picked it up a number of years ago, but, you know, dabbling along, because hard to get teachers, you know, down this area or whatever. So a bit online, workshops here and there. And little did I know, like, the satisfaction that I got from the harp, that so I'm going to do what makes me happy. You know, it just makes me happy. And my flute, like, I love my flute as well. But I suppose the flute I was more associating with not being able to play it, and whistles and stuff. You know, whereas the harp was a fresh approach to everything, you know. So I kind of tore into it then. I also set up, like, when I was out of kilter for a little while, I started doing knitting like a lunatic.
I remember this!
My mother had taught me how to knit years ago, and crochet and all that. But then I damaged my arm. Of course, that was the side that the lymph nodes, whatever, were gone. So I damaged my arm from doing so much knitting. I just went like a lunatic into it. They're all over our house. I gave them away to loads of people, and then I had to stop that because I was injured. So how am I going to replace that? So crochet. There's only one little stitch on the needle. So then I crocheted like a lunatic.
Oh, you know, this is obsessive behaviour. Right?
Crochet all over, crochet coming out everywhere. But I also did, during COVID, before I was unwell, I I did six qualifications. There is a bit of, you're making me think of it. There is a bit of an obsessive nature here.
There's a group out there.
I did a whole pile. I did an events management, project management. I did a degree in social enterprise. I did leadership. I did, and of course, the one that's close to my heart, I did coaching, life coaching. And then I did mental health coaching as well. I did two on that. So I just went lunatic like on all of that stuff. And then I did set up Director Direction, a little coaching business. Now, I never want that to be an overwhelming, but because of school and, you know, lovely children and young people I met along the way, that's what I missed in school. Mm-hmm. So that's what I missed. So I wanted to kind of keep that going, but I have kind of changed a little bit now. I did discover, like, for me to coach, you know, or to have young people, we'll say teens and all the rest, so there has to be a parent involved, you know, so it's a three-way. And teens by nature don't trust people, you know, so I've actually changed now to over 18 because I want the trust between mm-hmm. me and whoever.
That's interesting.
Young men, actually, I seem to have, like, get on great, but they seem to really fly, like, you know, mm-hmm. in their 18s, 20s, you know, up to kind of 30, any age. I can coach any age, but that's what I enjoy most when I see them turn.
What would be the reason? So if I was, say, an 18-year-old, a parent maybe of an 18-year-old young man,
yeah,
and I'm thinking, okay, maybe he could benefit from a chat with Áine and see what goes on. What would be the reasons why somebody might approach you?
Well, you see, that wouldn't be a great reason.
Lovely,
straight away
okay.
there, because the parent is saying the child should mm-hmm. go. Really, you need, not a child, but you need the person to want. You know, you're really at nothing. Now you can bring them in and you can have a chat and you can see, can you get into their head and get them to hear themselves and identify, you know, solutions to their own issues. But trying to get a teenager to talk with a parent overseeing it is not easy, you know, and I'd leave that to, you know, to CAMHS or to, you know, because that's not my brief. Mm-hmm. I want to help people unstick themselves. They're stuck for some reason. So the parent of the 18-year-old, now it could be very useful for a leaving cert. Obviously, with my whole teaching background, I could be very useful mm-hmm. from that, or I can get them, you know, onto study and I can get them, help them with plans and whatever. I can do that, you know, for a younger person. But I'd rather have the person realise there's an issue themselves mm-hmm. and want to see, can we get around it? And they have all the answers and I just try to pull them out of them, you know.
I presume they're more likely to commit then if they are coming to you of their own volition.
Yeah, and it's their own few bob, and a few bob is hard to earn. So when you're spending it yourself, you'll actually put the effort in. Mm-hmm. You know, so after looking at it all, I kind of said, you know, I think I'm most helpful to people that I can most help,
yep.
which is actually the young adult.
You know. And over the Christmas break, you certainly didn't sit down on your laurels, Áine. You went off and you launched an album.
I did.
So scores of people turned out in the gorgeous Coast Guard Cultural Centre. When was that, Áine?
That was on the 22nd.
So before Christmas, Áine had a massive delivery of her music and she went out and she said, this is what we're doing. How's it gone, Áine?
Do you know something? It was actually very stressful run into it because the CDs were missing.
Oh, Lord.
They only arrived, I was going to cancel it all at 2 o'clock on Saturday. So I couldn't do any run up to it or any promotion of it or anything. And at 20 to 2, the CDs landed.
Wow.
So suddenly then I had to, like, you know, practice and plan a whole thing. And I had my, Rebecca's boyfriend, Sean. He's fantastic with sound. He came up from Kerry and Rebecca came up from Kerry and Jana and Jonathan, and he did videos and she did food and and did a talk, whatever. Like, so I had a huge support all of a sudden. Now, the funny thing was I had got off a flight at 3 a.m. on the morning of when the CDs weren't coming,
yep.
on the Saturday. So Monday was the launch. And didn't I have I have latex allergy.
Yes.
And I had worn a face mask.
No.
My whole face.
Were you scarlet?
Oh, I was like totally like unrecognisable. I have a photograph of that morning and I sent it to a friend of mine and said, is there anything you can do? And she had to come over, Patricia Keneally. She came over and, oh my God, she said, when I saw you, I didn't know what I was going to do. Somehow she managed to get over, but I had
oh,
a big
Lord
head
God.
On me for days.
Oh, Áine.
Putting Zyrtex in and doing all sorts of, yeah, just, I'm allergic to latex.
On top of all the stress.
Oh my God, is all I could say. And it was like a loon. I was huge, you know, I was all swollen. Oh, for God's sake.
Áine, making this album, this was obviously a conscious decision, something you wanted to do. Why now, Áine?
Do you know something? I don't know if it was something I wanted to do. Like, it was something that kind of just did itself nearly. After I'd had a roundy birthday there in March, And I was kind of saying, well, you know, if I was to kick the bucket now in the morning, what have I left behind? You know, what's my legacy? And of course, my children are, my family, like there's a huge legacy there. But I said, musically, I mean, I left teaching to do music. What have I left behind? Yeah. You know, so I know I set up Tremore Cultus Branch in that, you know, as well. But so I don't know. And why did I pick the harp? Like, because it's not my instrument. It's not my main instrument. But I suppose it was the challenge. It was the joy that I get from the harp. You know, it's actually, it gives me a lot of pleasure. And because I didn't fit it into a genre, it's not traditional Irish music, it's not folk music, it's just my favourite pieces of music. So therefore, I was plotting out a little musical journey. Like, this is how it started, this is how it went on. I had no intention of it, like, kind of expanding a bit. It was only up in the Coast Guards, I was trying to find a venue. Mm-hmm. Colin said, you know, he's been terrific. Colin out in the Coast
Colin's
Guards.
Colin's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. But he was saying, so like, how are we going to sell these? And I said, geez, I had no intention of selling them. This was just a personal mm-hmm. project. But for then it all had to change into copyright and, you know, all this kind of stuff. But that was never the plan. The plan was something for me to look at in my hand and say, okay, I've left my mark. Wow. On the world, like, you know.
And are they a combination of, like, what kind of music, I suppose, is on it, Anya? Are there personal compositions on it? Are there well-known pieces of music on it?
There is a mix. I have a thing about a beautiful harper in she's from Scotland. Her name's Ailey Robinson, and I just love her music. So there's some of that on it. It's folk, kind of Scottish. There's you know, May It Be, Braveheart, some film music, The Prayer. There's ones in memory of friends that have passed away through cancer. Peter Kelly is one, and Anne-Marie Mullally, who I worked with, a very good friend of mine, who was hugely supportive of my entire musical life. So The Prayer is dedicated to her. And Peter Kelly was the person, a brilliant musician. He lived in Waterford for years. He moved to Cork, and unfortunately he was sick around the same time as me. Didn't get better. And I'd learn a new piece on the harp to keep myself going. I'd send it to Peter, and Peter said, you should make an album. He said, because it gives me great comfort. And he's a box player himself. And he kept saying it to me, you know. So anyway, poor Peter passed. And then Jerry Madden came along. And I mean, I know Jerry very well, and Paul Grant. And Jerry said, you know, you should really make an album. I said, feck it, Jerry. It's playing on my mind because Peter made me promise and I haven't done it. And Peter died in January, this time last year. So then I said, you know something. So it was quite sudden, actually. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm not doing it. I'm going to do it because I've been pressurised.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I'm glad they did, because I probably mightn't have done it myself, you know. And I recorded it. I tried to keep it local. Paul Grant Studios in Kilkenny, Camac Studio. And Jerry was unbelievable. Jerry Madden. Like, he was my wingman the whole way through. And then I got Graphic Image, did all the graphics, all the beautiful. David Kent did a wonderful job, I think, on the, I was saying, God, it looks really nice. I wonder, does it sound as nice? And then Sure Design Barry, he did the printings, you know, he got the CDs actually made. So between, I tried to keep it here as best I could, so I did. And I actually got the photography done down in Killarney because Rebecca had got some done. There's a great girl down there. But so it was a great adventure.
In the world.
And I felt like that the person that I had lost years ago before I went into teaching, I found again. So I kind of reimagined myself again just as a person that enjoys a bit of music, and maybe somebody somewhere likes it, you know.
What an extraordinary way to begin a new year. And we're talking so much about that this morning. Anya, you're going to play a piece of music for us just to ease us out of the show. But I suppose I'll ask you before we do that, what kind of a Christmas did you have, Anya? And I say this really tongue in cheek, and you can't throw something at me because there's a harp in front of you. When I spoke to Stephen there a little while ago, Stephen might have suggested that he might be the main chef in the house.
Look at the burnt finger on me. A big scar down my finger. No, I cannot cook. Stephen is incredible. I'm put on a chair. I'm handed a glass of red wine and I'm told, do not move. And that works really well for me. So, I mean, what am I to do? Only do what I'm told on that one occasion. I'm very bold otherwise.
Anya, a very happy new year to you. What are you going to play out for us?
I think I'll play Eilig Yal, which is, I'm actually not sure where I got it from. It's just a nice little tune. Okay.
absolutely beautiful. Áine McCarthy-Kent, thank you so much for your time this morning
and for being
so generous with sharing your musical talents. Audrey actually just sent me a message from the hub here and she said I would listen to that all day.
Thank you, Audrey.
I absolutely know my mother is at home doing the exact same thing. My mother's a massive fan of yours, Áine. A very happy new year to you and yours.
Thank you very much, and happy new year to you and your family.